Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. And it's time to dig in to some of the mail that's been piling up. One of our producers, in fact, has been getting lots and lots of notices from his bank. And he's here to share some of it with us, right, Jody? You've gotten lots of mail
there.
Here
I am, Jamie. Yes. Hi. Yeah, I've been getting letters, tons and tons of letters from Chase, my bank, and I'm sure lots of our listeners out there also belong to Chase. And usually these are the types of letters that pile up and you just kind of put them off to the side. But I think we should stop and pay attention to these. So I'm holding one of the letters here. And
all right.
On the outside it says, it's from Chase, and it says, a change is coming to your Chase debit card.
A change is coming.
So let's open it up.
All right, open it up, and we want to hear what it says. It's going to inform our segment.
Right. So on the top of the page, it says how your debit card works is changing unless we hear from you. Please make an important choice. And, you know, on the inside, it goes on and it basically reads as an advertisement for what they call overdraft protection. And it calls overdraft protection helpful, timely, flexible service that they give to you. And overdraft protection, as you know, is if you make a debit card purchase and there isn't enough money in your checking account, they protect you by bringing in funds, approving the purchase, but then charging you an overdraft fee. Sort of buried in here is an indication that this fee can be up to $34 for each time you make this purchase. But
that's the catch.
Right. Well, there's even more of a catch, Jamie, because this letter isn't just kind of an advertisement for how flexible, timely, and helpful overdraft protection is. If you look on the back of the letter, kind of buried in a little Q&A on the back, is what this letter is really about. And there's a note that says, quote, if you do not opt in to Chase overdraft coverage, we will no longer authorize your everyday overdraft debit card purchases.
So that's the fine print.
That's the fine print buried in the back. But I think that's the crux of the issue. And
this appears to be a little more than your usual bank-related junk mail, right? And Jody, we thank you for sharing your personal mail with us. And in fact, I've gotten a bunch of this as well. And it turns out a lot of folks around here have, and we suspect our listeners have. And so we thank you, Jody. And we've decided to bring someone in to explain exactly what all of this means. And so here to help us understand is Gail Hillebrand. She's Senior Attorney for Consumers Union. Gail, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, Gail, exactly what's going on with these letters, like the one that Jody received and the many others that our listeners are receiving?
What's going on with these letters is that the rules are changing. For your existing accounts as of August 15 and for new accounts as of July 1, your bank will no longer be able to simply automatically put you in a high-fee overdraft program that you don't even know about. The only way you'll have this so-called overdraft protection, which is, you know, you go over by $4 when you buy a cup of coffee with your debit card and you get a $34 fee. The only way they'll be able to do that is if you actually sign up for it. So the banks are engaged in a very serious marketing campaign to get you to sign up for this expensive service that you really don't need.
All right. We want to know if our listeners have gotten a letter like this in the mail. What does it read like? Is it clear? Do you understand what it is? Did you just throw it out, as many people often do? And have you made a choice? We want your story. Or if you have any other questions about debit card changes or credit card reform, give us a call. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, Gail, the bottom line is if you do nothing, you no longer have overdraft protection. Is that right?
Yes, for it's a refreshing change here that if you do nothing, you get the protection of not getting this loan feature that you don't need and that is way more expensive than makes any sense. The average overdraft fee on debit overdraft is actually more than the average amount that people go over by. If you're paying more than 100% of the amount you borrowed for a very short-term loan, that's not a good deal for consumers. And the rule that's coming in is opt-in. That means if you don't sign up for it, you don't get stuck with it.
Well, do you need it? I mean, you're using the word protection. They use the word protection. Is it protection?
We don't think it's protection to loan you money that you don't know you're borrowing, where it costs way more than the amount you borrowed on the fee. Now, when you choose not to sign up for debit overdraft, it does mean that if you present your card at the coffee shop and there's no money in your account, it probably won't work. We think that's better for you than getting a fee that's four times the price of the cup of coffee.
Well, is there a reason for people, or maybe I should say for some people, to go ahead and opt in?
There's really no good reason to opt into debit card overdraft. You will still probably have overdraft on your checks and your recurring debits unless your bank changes its program in some other way. These new rules that say you got to sign up for it if you want it only apply to debit card overdrafts, not to your checks and not to your recurring. So if you have your mortgage coming out of your checking account every month, that's not affected.
Okay, so right there is a very important question. All transactions are not included in these changes?
That's correct. Only debit card overdrafts.
Okay. So things like automatic bill payments, checks that you might write where you might overdraft, that's not a part of this.
Those are not a part of this, which means you're probably still facing an expensive overdraft loan if you do that. And if, you know, balance your checkbook, but also you may want to link your checking account to some other, to a line of credit with your bank or to your credit card in some other way, avoid going into the overdraft bucket with those checks and recurring payments.
Now, we do have to mention that in the interest of fairness, we will be asking some of the same questions of a representative of the banking industry in just a few moments. I do have a question from Andrew in Highlands. Andrew, hi, you're on WNYC, and you have the good fortune of being on with Gail Hillebrand. She's a senior attorney for the Consumers Union. Go ahead. Andrew, are you there?
People, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Please begin again. We missed the beginning of your question.
Oh, I said, no, I'm so glad that Gail is there to take care of people like us. I used to work in finance. I currently work in real estate. I bank with Bank of America. I work with Sun Valley National, and I also work with Capital One. Capital One has told me they will not be having any type of overdraft fees should I decide to sign that waiver, which I signed and sent in. What I don't agree with Bank of America is that they have this ridiculous campaign going that says for every time I spend something on my debit card, a dollar goes from my checking to my savings to help me save money. Well, not many Americans have money like I do. Sometimes that $1 makes them go into default. So next time they go for a cup of coffee, it's a $36 cup of coffee. I'm not saving anything. And listen, we just gave you trillions. How much more money do you people need? And I hope everyone out there is listening. Seriously. Seriously. Right now, all of my
Andrew.
Right now, I had to totally reinvent myself as far as real estate is concerned and help all of my neighbors in my town. Why? Because now I've become the short sale specialist.
All right.
I don't want to have to be that person.
Andrew, I so appreciate Andrew's passion, and I guess, Gail, you do too.
I certainly do. And I would just say you are going to be getting some scare mail from your bank. You can ignore the scare mail. But if your bank says, gee, we think we're going to get rid of your free checking, that's the time to complain.
Yeah.
Because we think there's some trial balloons going on, and they may not stick. And we also have information on defendyourdollars.org about how to move your money if you want to change banks.
And, Gail, I wanted to ask you that question because the letter that our producer received had a pretty positive tone, talking up the virtues of overdraft as a major service from banks to consumers. But there are reports, and you're suggesting there, that some people are getting different kinds of letters with a completely different tone. Almost threatening or scary. Are they targeting certain communities? What kind of tactics are being employed by some banks?
Well, a couple of banks have said, forget it, we're just not going to do debit overdraft anymore, and that's to their credit. But Chase and Wells Fargo are still trying to sign people up among the biggies. And the first Chase solicitation was, we thought, pretty misleading and pretty scary. You know, our debit card won't work the same anymore. And they did make some changes. Consumers Union, Consumer Federation of America, and others complained to the regulators and went to Chase. And they did make some changes in the solicitation. Now at least it tells you it's $34.
And so it was across the board, not targeting any given community. It was just the nature of the solicitation. And then thanks to groups like yours, there were changes made to the solicitation letters?
We don't know which group got the scary solicitation.
Hmm.
We think it went to one group of customers. And then before they got to the next group of customers, we said, hey, wait a minute, this is not telling the truth.
Interesting. So this is... Not, in your view, of course, a win-win for consumers. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported that Bank of America is actively looking for other fees to implement to make up for the lost revenue, and that these changes may actually include the end of free checking. Have you heard about that?
We heard that yesterday for the first time, but there was no press release from Bank of America. There are no specifics. Apparently, they refused to give any specifics. We think that's the kind of trial balloon where you might want to call your bank and say, I'm not sticking with you if you raise my fees.
All right. So your general advice, one last word of advice for consumers as these letters arrive. I have to confess, Gail, I get so much mail that if it looks like any sort of junk mail, I just ignore it. Not always wise, because sometimes it could be something very important that I'm missing.
Yeah, this
but what's your general advice for consumers as mail from banks comes across their desk?
Our general advice is you do have to read the mail from your banks because it may have other kinds of changes you have to worry about. But when the pitch is sign up for debit overdraft, do nothing.
All right. Well, thank you so much to you, Gail Hillebrand, Senior Attorney for Consumers Union, for being with us. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. And we are talking about the changes coming to your bank plan, whatever bank you may be banking with, all kinds of changes coming. And we have a comment from Zahara in Hoboken on our comments page. She's keeping her overdraft plan. She writes, quote, if it's a good plan, and it is a good plan, as long as you bring your account back up to date before the end of the business day, or so at least one of our listeners is opting in. And that brings us to our next guest. She is Nessa Fettis. She is with the American Bankers Association, and she has, of course, a different point of view. She is a representative of the banking industry. Nessa, thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
Well, we want to begin now by asking you about what's going on. What are the changes coming for the American banking public? A lot of confusion out there, it seems, about the notices coming from banks about the changes coming to debit cards. People who use debit cards a lot, or maybe they don't use them a lot, but concerns about overdraft protection and whether to opt in, opt out. First, maybe you can tell us what the changes are.
Well, as Gail said, and actually Gail and I agree about a lot of things, but the basic rule is that banks may not impose an overdraft fee for an ATM or a one-time point-of-sale debit card overdraft unless the customer expressly consents. And what this means is that consumers are in the driver's seat. As I think you mentioned, many people do want important payments made, like their rent and their mortgage or even their cable, even if it means paying a fee. But some people were surprised that a debit card transaction might go through even though there wasn't enough money. And what this rule does, it says that that can't happen unless the customer consents. So consumers are in the driver's seat. So this is a very pro-consumer new rule that the Federal Reserve has put out.
But I would assume that where you and Gail may disagree is you would think that this is a good thing for consumers and that they should opt in more often than not.
No, we don't have an opinion. It's going to depend on the consumers. Most people, the vast majority of people, don't pay any overdraft fees. Some people rely on managing their accounts, some link to a savings account or a line of credit, and that's a very good option, but it's not necessarily an option available to everybody. Not everybody has a savings account, and sometimes they're a little short on money, and it's not necessarily the apocryphal $4 cup of coffee. Sometimes it's their prescriptions, or they've just eaten dinner and they want the bill paid. And for them, it's a bit of peace of mind. It's not a good choice for everybody, but it is a choice for some people, and it's a good choice for some people. It just depends on the person. Everybody has to look at their own habits and their own options.
What about Gail's assertion that banks like Chase are being misleading in their language and the suggestion that it's a requirement rather than an option to consumers?
Oh, I don't think that you read the Chase notice, and I think that it's very clear it's an option, it's not a requirement, and the regulation requires that in any promotion of overdraft protection that the bank disclose the fee. So that fee was always disclosed in any bank's promotion. That's been required for months now, for years. So that the fee will always be disclosed clearly and conspicuously. It has to be easy to spot. That's by regulation, and that regulation's been in existence for several years now.
We have a comment from one of our listeners who writes on Facebook. The oddest thing about these notices is that they are informing me that they will withdraw a credit overdraft option if I don't opt in. I never wanted a credit overdraft option in the first place, so this seems like involuntary credit. What do you make of that?
Well, that's the whole point of the new rule, is that the consumers have to sign up if they want their overdraft from debit card transactions paid. So it is voluntary. I mean, people have to expressly agree. That's the value of the new rule. That's what's new, and that's what puts consumers in the driver's seat. They get to decide, and they actually have to do something in order to have their overdrafts paid.
So then why was the rule, Nessa, implemented in the first place?
Well, I think, as I said, most people don't overdraw their accounts, but there was concern that some customers didn't understand and were surprised that a debit card transaction would be approved if there were not enough money in the account. And that's what the rule is addressing. So that's what's new.
So it is a consumer protection measure.
Oh, absolutely. This is a very strong consumer protection rule. The Federal Reserve really ensured that it took every decision was made to enhance the consumer's protections.
How much revenue do banks make from overdraft protection fees, if you know?
We hear various numbers. I don't know that there's a precise number, but so I don't have a good answer there on the revenue. But we do know that most people do avoid paying overdrafts. And some of the things that people, your listeners, will want to know is how can they avoid not just debit card overdrafts, but other overdraft fees, and that is to keep a cushion, link to another account or to a line of credit, monitor their account. And that's an important thing, not just to avoid overdrafts, but also to, you know, keep an eye on spending, but also ensure that nobody else is using the account. So it's important for people to keep track of their transactions. And nowadays, people can also set up alerts when their balance goes below a certain amount to remind them that they need to put some money in the account, or that they shouldn't spend. They may be overdrawing because there isn't enough money in the account.
Yes, technology.
So consumers have a lot of choices now. It's great.
Yeah, technology makes it much easier to keep track of your spending and your account. Now let me ask you the same question I asked Gail before we end the segment, and that is this question about free checking. The Wall Street Journal report yesterday that Bank of America, and it may be a trend, Bank of America actively looking for other fees to implement to make up for lost revenue from overdraft, and that the changes may actually mean the end of free checking. What do you know about that?
Well, that's always a possibility. It does put pressure. I mean, it's like any business. For any business to be successful, revenue has to exceed expenses. That's fairly basic. If you remove one source of income, it has to be made up someplace, and the banks will be looking. But at the end of the day, it's going to be consumers driving it. And there's a lot of competition out there. And so, yes, they will be looking for other sources of revenue, but consumers are going to be driving it.
All right. Well, Nessa Fettes, we thank you so much for joining us for this very important segment to our listeners and to consumers everywhere. Nessa Fettes, American Bankers Association, thank you.
You're very welcome. Pleasure.
And coming up after the break, the Twitter hashtag Books That Changed My World has taken off. And we have the writer, Susan Orlean, the person behind the movement. We're going to talk to her, and you can start calling in now with your books that changed your world. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692.